The Good News Hour is with you once again, and it is a joy to turn with you to the Holy Scriptures, and we shall ask attention to the epistle of Paul to Titus, and as we remarked in our last broadcast, that this is one of the pastoral epistles. So that according to verses 11 and 12, 13 and 14, we have a most comprehensive statement of what the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ does. Now, I think we noted with you in verse 11, the grace of God bringeth salvation unto all men hath appeared. My, aren't we glad? You see, you remember the first promise in the Bible of the coming Savior is found in the very first book in the Bible. That would be in Genesis chapter 3 and about verse 15 toward the end of the chapter, where our God said that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head and it should bruise his heel. Now, hundreds of years elapsed before the fulfillment of that promise. It was a long-awaited promise, but you see, God's promises are just like his debts, and he pays them. And in his own time, he came, God sent his Son into the world in order to accomplish his pledge, his promise, his purposes. So that in this interesting 11th verse, it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And by the way, just a reminder that in the Gospel by St. John chapter 1, we would read there that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the law could be brought to us by a representative, but when it's a matter of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it appears in the Son of God. And surely when he delivered his first message, that would be found in the Gospel by St. Luke chapter 4, they beheld the gracious words that proceeded out of his lips, words of grace, tenderness, and of compassion. And I'm glad to be able to tell you that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that appeared and appeared to all men is still with us. You must not, however, presume, if you're still without Christ and in your sins, that the grace of God is something that you can take advantage of at your will. In other words, when you feel so disposed, I should like to remind you, it's very, very solemn and very heart-searching, too, that the dispensation of the grace of God, the longest of all dispensations, has well nigh run its course. And should the latter part of the message that I'm going to bring before you, should it be fulfilled today, the grace of God, or the dispensation of the grace of God, would terminate with an abruptness and a suddenness that would startle the entire world. So today, thank God for his grace and for his mercy that's still extended to a guilty world. And if you have not received of that grace, receive the Son of God into your heart, oh, why not today? Embrace the Son, as we would say, using the language of the second psalm, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with thee. In other words, be reconciled to God. Now, the promise then, and the fulfillment of that promise, it came in God's time and in God's own way. The grace of God, however, does more than bring salvation. It does more than deliver a man from the consequences of his sin, a life of sin. It does more than fit him for heaven. In other words, look, if you've never tasted of the grace of God, right today, whomever you are, wherever you are, if you were to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, trust the merits of his work that was accomplished upon Calvary's cross when he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, you'd know for the first time that the grace of God brings present salvation, it brings eternal salvation, it brings deliverance to you. But I'm so happy to be able to go on in this precious portion and point out to you something else that I think that is very, very necessary. That is to say, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, we are told further about the grace of God teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So that the grace of God that reached me, the grace of God that has saved my soul, becomes my instructor. Yes, teaches me. And this is what it teaches. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust or worldly desires, we should live soberly. Now, of course, that doesn't mean abstaining from liquor. You wouldn't expect a Christian, a child of God, to be a drunkard in any sense of the word. And so, living soberly would be uprightly and surely to the glory of our God. Sober in every sense of the word. And then he says, righteously and godly. And then listen further. In this present world. Now, we have been saying a little the past days about profession. Profession seems to abound as it never has before. So many sham and empty professions all around us everywhere. And you make sure, my hearer today, that you are not merely a professor of Christianity, a professor of salvation, and what you have has not affected your life. Did you notice that in this verse it says, the grace of God saves me, it brings present salvation, but it further teaches me, this is the negative side now of the salvation of God, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts or worldly desires. You see, the outlook is changed immediately, and your thoughts as to this poor world would be different than they have ever been before. In other words, you may have ambition to forge ahead and to succeed in business and to accumulate wealth even beyond the human computation. Shall I remind you that if you become a Christian, it certainly wouldn't mean that you couldn't prosper in things in this life, but your heart would not be set upon them. You'd be able to say, I've heard a sweeter story, I've found a truer gain. And your affection would be set on things above and not on things on the earth. Listen, the world is under the sentence of judgment and doom. Yes, judgment is impending, and judgment is going to fall, and it's going to fall very, very soon. But of course, the judgment of God will never fall upon the believer, that is the Christian, the person who has been reached and saved by the grace of our God. He knows what it is to be saved and safe from judgment. But now, let's see just a little bit further. And then he says, it not only saves me, not only delivers me from this present evil world, from a life of ungodliness and a life of unrighteousness, but it does further. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, it changes my outlook and gives me the upward look. For the salvation of God, it means far more than deliverance from the penalty of guilt and of sin. It means far more than being delivered from this world that's under the doom and under the judgment of God. My sights are raised, and I know what it is to have been raised with Christ, seated with Him in the glory, and my affection now set on things above, as Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and the very first verse. But you know, one of these days, the Savior who left us, who went back to the glory, is coming again. And that is a pledge and a promise, and is dear to the heart of each believer, dear to the heart of each child of God. And so he says, looking for that blessed hope, and I may say that is a happy hope. And oh, what a joy it would be if he came today. We know that things are not going to be set right in this world. Doesn't make any difference who gets into power. The course of this world is a downward course, and men are departing from God, becoming more wicked every day, and things can never be right until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back from heaven, and of course He will shout His people into His eternal courts, and we'll be with Him, and we'll be like Him forever and forever. Then He's going to set things right in this world. But shall I just ask you again, are you looking for that blessed hope? Is it a blessed hope to you, or would you be filled with deep despair if you thought our Lord Jesus Christ should come and come today? How would you face it? Now, of course, the believer, the Christian, says it's a blessed hope, it's a happy hope, and what I have long anticipated would then be realized forever and forever. Now, of course, Paul, in writing to his son Timothy in the faith, he has something to say there too. He says, henceforth there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, and says, not to me only, but to all them that love His appearing. He's coming soon. It may be today. Now, we expect to say more about this a little bit later on, but if you'd like spiritual help further along these lines, drop us a note. Do it right today. This address will reach us. Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.